For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to a special Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast, Memorial Day weekend podcast leading into the next week. A very special guest that, I don't know, I guess Robert, known each other several different ways. Robert Smith. I mean, I don't even know how to describe you. Okay, so full disclosure, we reconnected social media, this, that, the other. But you were a Minnesota Vikings running back recovering from the ACL when I was assistant team position, so to speak, Minnesota Vikings back in the day, the purple. And, you know, you've done it all, my friend, from playing from college football to UFL to NFL broadcaster. For today's ProFootball.com conversation, look, you're the more experienced media guy than I am. We'll take it any way you want to go. We can talk about college and forget NIL. Now,
wow,
revenue sharing? Oh, my gosh. Schedule release to – can Tom Brady do your job as an analyst to the UFL and the new kickoff rule? You take it how, whichever direction you want to take it, my friend.
Wow, just – I mean, so many – great topics to talk about, but you know, something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, you know, with the passing of the great Jim Otto. I believe he was 86 years old. You know, all these documented surgeries that he's had, obviously was a great Raider, you know. And it takes me back to when I first got in the media, and there was this myth circulating amongst players and the media that was almost repeated as if it was a known fact that NFL players died at an average age of 55. And, you know, being somebody that had worked with the union since my second year in the league, I knew this wasn't true. There was data from OSHA, you know, occupational safety and health, and, you know, a lot of data out there. But the players wanted to believe this so badly, and the media wanted to believe it so badly, that it got repeated. And unfortunately, it just created a lot of narratives. And, you know, when I got into media, quite frankly, I was disappointed that there wasn't more of an effort to dispel rumors and myths. People just like to go with these things. And I think part of it, Doc, is there's this belief out there that the NFL has a bad union. The players have a bad deal. They should be getting guaranteed contracts. But for so many reasons, this doesn't even make sense. And I tried when I was at ESPN a number of times, whether it was Mike Greenberg and, you know, the Mike and Mike show, they didn't want to hear it. They wouldn't have me on to talk about it because, you know, they said, hey, well, I don't like the NFL contracts. Like, wait a second. You have to understand the contracts before you talk about them. You guys say that there should be guaranteed contracts. Well, there's no rule against guaranteed contracts, and there's no rule that every contract has to be guaranteed in any sport because it's not even financially possible. But there are some other stories I want to get to, you know, related to the issue, including some of the disability issues. But, you know, it's amazing to me, Doc. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming up as well was that team doctors are biased and, you know, are conflicted because they're working for the team and they're supposed to be checking on the safety of players. I'd love to hear what you have to say about some of the issues that may have come up when you were a doctor.
Look, this is going to be great because this little podcast, because I hate being the interviewer. A conversation like you and I always have on offline is the way to go. And I see where this is going already. So look, let me tell you something. I never had the team pressure me to do anything. the people that pressured me to get them back more
players.
The players. They're like, come on, let's go. And the very famous Philip Rivers incident, who played, you know, 6 days after an Eascope AFC Championship game in New England, tore an ACL. He was the one begging to return to play. As we walked off the field in the last game of the RCA Dome, my Twitter, I don't know, avatar, whatever you call it, the header picture is us walking out the field. It's him, like, jawing at me, saying, I want back into this game. You know, get me back into this game. On the flight home, he was chirping, I want to play next week. I want to play next week. We had a meeting the next morning. We already knew he had an ACL tear with Coach Norv Turner, myself, the head athletic trainer, and Philip Rivers. And Philip's like, let's go do the surgery. He's like, no, we're going to meet first. We met, and Norv Turner said, look, take care of yourself and your knee, Philip. Billy Bullock has got this. So the narrative isn't right. Now, I get, at least for me, it wasn't, at least in San Diego with the Chargers. Now, there were times when a GM would say to me, when's this player going to be healthy because we're going to cut him? And I politely said, please don't tell me that anymore, because my job is to get the best player on this team healthy and the 53rd player on this team healthy. So I'm already trying to get them healthy as soon as possible. If you tell me you're going to cut them when they're healthy, I don't know how that plays tricks in my mind to delay getting them better because they're friends, or rush getting them better. I don't want to know that piece of information. And that's kind of how I dealt with it. And, you know, Robert, maybe I'm different. And I feel very lucky in life because guys like you and, you know, guys in my team, et cetera, I thought of them as a peer group. Look, for the first 8 years I was a head team position, there was at least one player on the team older than me. The last 9 years, not so much, but they felt like my little brothers. And so I felt like I was their friend as well as their doctor, and I wouldn't cause them any harm. And so I don't know, maybe my experience was different, especially nowadays with sponsor deals. And, you know, most doctors don't get the job until they're well into their 50s or older. There's a separation. So all I could speak of is for me. And then the other thing is, I think it's completely silly when people have a movement saying you need a totally independent team doctor who doesn't report to the team at all and is independently assigned and that shows up on game day. That shows, A, you don't know what a function of a team doctor is and what they do all year round in terms of valuing players. Right. And B, people often said to me, how do you get – the time to develop a relationship with a player is not when they're injured. The time to develop a relationship with a player is when they're healthy and you ask them about where they're from and where they went to school and their brother or their mom or their dad, and you get to know them. And that's when, in the heat of battle, under fire, and you need very quick consent. Do you want this injection? Is this safe for you? Or do you want to go back in? That you can have a dialogue, and it comes from trust. You can't do that with someone you don't know. If you look at this past season, Russell Wilson, or the previous seasons, Russell Wilson with the – no, it wasn't Russell Wilson. It was Jamal Adams in Seattle, who got into a little pseudo-mini – disagreement with the independent neuro. Part of it was because there was no relationship. Like, what are you doing? You're taking me out of this game. There was no trust. Not that that doctor was doing the wrong thing for Jamal Adams. There has to be some trust, two-way street. So I don't know. That's the way I handled it, but I get how difficult it could be of a situation in other cases.
Well, you know, and what bothers me, though, is there are so many people in the media and, quite frankly, news organizations, and I'm not blaming ESPN. ESPN's not a monolith. They had people there that certainly weren't covering stories or weren't digging into the details the way that they needed to for some stories, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what bothers me is that when people in my role, I've had a number of roles, you know, as a game analyst, as a studio analyst, but, you know, as one of those talking heads, if you will, on some of those shows. And it seems that some of those people on those shows, all they really care about is an angry narrative and take to try and get clicks. I've seen this a number of times. You know, it happened after Damar Hamlin's injury a couple of years ago in the aftermath of that. the Tua Tagovailoa situation, which I'd love to get your opinion on, because, you know, with Tua, and there was the incident with the stumbling where he went into the locker room and he came back out, and everybody's saying, well, that's clearly a concussion, clearly a concussion. And I spoke to somebody that, you know, works in neurology, works at special forces, and more importantly, like, he works in these extreme environments where they're away from medical services. And I said, you know, what's the first thing that happens when you see something like that? He said, well, the first thing that happens when I see somebody stumble is I look to musculoskeletal. I don't look neurological. You need to check those things. But what bothered me is talking heads acting as if they knew better than the team doctor or the NFLPA appointed independent neuro that was already there. They're like, well, you saw him stumble. Like, yes, they saw him stumble too. And they are the ones doing the examinations. As much as we on the outside look at these situations and say, well, it looks like this and I've seen that and I make the comparison, unless you're the doctor doing the examination, you probably don't know.
Well, I would agree with you. And look, you know, part of what I do is, oh, I'm sitting at home or in our war room watching TV and film, and we're not making diagnoses. We're giving opinions about injury because I've studied film for 17 years. But I'm not pretending to know. And I'd be the first one to say that you cannot judge a concussion by TV. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. I remember it was Case Keenum for Houston went down when he was a Texans quarterback years ago along the sidelines near the goal line. And it looked like he fenced, like, you know, had a little disarray response. Yet the Texans doctors put him back in the game. And I personally know the Texans doctors very well, very good people, good friends, good doctors. And I was like, well, then I was a little bit conflicted, right? What do I do? Like, that didn't look good. I'm not judging the concussion, but it certainly looked like his reaction. I don't know how you put that kid back into the game. And so I said something on Twitter, and I said, look, if the team doctors saw that video of the disarabit posturing of Case Keenum momentarily, then there better be a very good explanation for why he got put back in the game. You know what turned out happened? By the time they ran out there, they didn't see it. And the replay review did not work that game.
Wow.
And so they let him back into the game, and they rechecked him after the next series and felt like he had symptoms and pulled him. They did everything correctly. What I always say is, if you think a team, and this goes for the GM, the coach, as well as the team doctor, if the team is making a dumb decision, I guarantee you they're not making a dumb decision in the moment. With the facts that they had, they made a smart decision that may turn to not work out, like a draft pick. Like, the information they had, they went a certain way. And if it looks silly when they make the decision, we on the outside just don't have all the facts, right?
Right.
And that's the way I look at that. As far as Tua is concerned, I agree with you. It's hard to judge concussions, but I get the suspicion. Here's my suggestion to all of it, and I've been saying this for a while, and you're an analyst and broadcaster and the whole deal. First of all, with HIPAA, there's really not HIPAA when it comes to broadcasting because you're not part of medical, okay? Right. And look, are injury reports violation of HIPAA? Well, technically they are, but under the CBA, you sign that away and so, et cetera, right? So weekly injury reports, knee questionable. That is a HIPAA violation, technically, but, you know, it's okay. So here's what I would propose. After a game, you have a pool reporter able to talk to the head referee. One reporter, the head referee, and ask a couple of questions. And more times than not, I think it clears things up, or at least you see the other side a little bit. Or focus what it is instead of just wild theories of what it is. Like the famous Kansas City play where Tony was offsides, right? And that great Kelsey touchdown that got called back, the whole thing. The referees said, well, he lined up way offsides, and they threw the flag before the play, right? So it's not like they saw a touchdown and won. Like if a team doctor or the independent neuro in Tua's case can say, yes, we checked him. No, he didn't have any signs. Yes, he had a back issue. That's what it was. So that's what we attributed the stumbling to. Whether, believe it or not, at least you'd have some story out there.
Right.
And quite honestly, more accountability and more explanation. I remember one game when Devontae Adams was with the Packers, national TV game. He went down, and he looked like he was concussed. He was holding his head. He was gasping for air, the whole deal. He got put right back into the game. And there was a lot of media firestorm over that. But instead, as it turned out, 2 or 3 days later, he said, I got the wind knocked out of me. And that's what that was all about, not my head. Well, if after the game, you simply can have one pool reporter ask, whether it's the sideline guy, the team physician, or Dr. Alan Sills for clarification, I think a lot of this would go away, because I think it's not knowing that sets off the firestorm if there's an explanation. That would be my suggestion. One pool reporter, talk to a doctor. Now, of course, give the player the right ahead of time to say, no, I don't want anyone talking about me after a game. Okay, then you'd say, this is our policy, but we can't talk on this guy because he didn't give us permission to. But in general, most players are going to say whatever. You know, talk away. They know their injuries are talked about in some way, shape, or form. And I think that would ask a lot of clarity. And, you know, if you got nothing to hide, what are you hiding? And I don't think that the docs have anything to hide.
Yeah. And, you know, but again, and I, you know, I'm not trying to bash the media. I think it's obviously changed significantly in a 24-hour news cycle. The people that yell the loudest get the most attention. And if they think that it's about a cause, they don't really care about the truth, right? Like, and unfortunately, I saw this firsthand at ESPN, and this is a story that I really wanted to talk about. Yeah. You know, the Mike Webster situation. Mike Webster, of course, a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers during the Super Bowl runs, retired from the NFL in the early 90s, and really started to struggle very quickly and deteriorated neurologically. And actually, the NFLPA went, Mickey Aris Davis, who had been working the benefits department since the 70s. She just retired earlier this year. She did a fantastic job. And they wanted to create this benefit that would allow players to get this degenerative condition. It didn't have to be something catastrophic. It could be, hey, this guy's really deteriorating and this condition has gotten so bad that we could declare them totally and permanently disabled, right? That's what they did. Mike applied for that benefit and got it almost immediately. And when they ran this piece, this is probably 2007, 2008, right before, you know, Congress steps in and, you know, we can do a whole show about Congress and how that's all they're doing is putting on a show. They don't really care. They don't really care about the facts. They only care about the facts that support their or narrative that supports their constituency or that helps them get votes or clicks or, you know, that their followers approve of on social media. But when ESPN ran this piece, you would think, and it was one-sided, and part of the reason is that Gene Upshaw said, as long as we're doing the right thing, I don't even care about participating in these interviews. And there were people that didn't know that I knew the people at the union, people at ESPN were bragging about how angry they made Gene Upshaw. They had emails from Gene Upshaw, angry emails, and they were bragging about it. Like, isn't your job to tell the full story? Or are you just trying to get him mad and like show off? Because when they ran this piece, they had Mike Webster's attorney, Cy Smith, and he went on and he was like, oh, well, they didn't even listen to their own doctors. And what one doctor said was that Mike Webster was totally and permanently disabled before he even retired from football. And this doctor didn't even examine him until like 5 or 6 years later. So there are rules that you can't even consider a period 42 months prior to when somebody applies, because as you know, it's not a linear progression. We know that there are many people that move forward or deteriorate with these neurological conditions at a different rate. You don't know when you examine somebody in one state on a given day what they were like 5 or 6.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Years before.
Well, no question. Anyway, you know more about that side than I do. Look, when players in the league, I took care of them. And when they're done, there was a number of them that, you know, file for impairment or disability and what have you. And I've had friends say, hey, look, I don't mean to bash you, but yeah, my knee hurts. And, you know, this, I said, no, I don't think you're bashing me. Like, I did your knee surgery, but it was a game of football. Right. Like Robert, I can't tell you how many times I said to somebody, a player would say to me, what's the best thing I can do for my knee? And I would say, lose 100 pounds and quit playing football. They're like, no, Doc. You know what I mean. You're playing football, what's the best thing for my knee, right? But they would be shy about the disability side. And my thing to them is, like, if the laws are there and you're not lying on your forms and you're getting physicals, by all means, apply and try and get what you can get. Because let me tell you something. I think most people don't know this. You know this. I don't care if you've never played for a football team in California, right, still took taxes from you.
Right,
The disability system and, you know, obviously Social Security. You file for your work comp because guess what? You got taxed. When you played the San Diego Chargers that week, that Miami Dolphins salary, or, you know, the Dallas Cowboys guy, no state taxes in Houston, no state taxes in Texas. There is that week when you play the San Diego Chargers from California or the Rams or whoever, right? I mean, it's state by state, and every state gets their piece. So if they taxed you, that gives you the right to chase the system. Go chase the system within the laws. I'm all supportive of that. I don't really know the system. I mean, but like anything, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you got taxed, then you can look at whatever work comp benefits there are.
Yeah. Well, but they're different though. There's work comp that's through the league but there's a separate entity, and that's the problem. There's this confusion. The NFL Pension and Disability Board, which got lambasted obviously at the congressional hearings and in the concussion movie, with Dave Duerson, people think that that's the NFL. It's not. It's a jointly administered fund. And the thing that upset me, what happened with ESPN and this Mike Webster story, they never mentioned in this piece that he got disability. All they did was say, you know, listen to his attorney and say, we won a lawsuit to get more disability, to get a higher level of disability, because we think, or that the doctor said, that he was disabled before he was even done playing, even though that violated the rules of the plan. And they ran this piece, and I went into the news director and I said, you guys just ran this piece making it look like he never got any help. He was getting disability the whole time. But what do you think they're going to do? Like, they're not going to put me on air and say, well, we'd like to correct this story. It was too good of a story not to tell the way they wanted to tell it. Now, in their defense, they would have me on Outside the Lines from time to time when these issues came up, because they knew then that I understood and was a part of the union. And so I knew the rules and how they applied. But some of the questions, like, I got a lot of respect for Bob Lee, but Bob Lee's like, well, if the disability program works, why is a private organization making a charity to help the players. Like, why does any private charity exist? Like, there are a lot of private charities that exist. The government, the federal government, has a lot more money than the NFL, and yet there are people that get turned down for Social Security, and people give to charities to support them. Veterans, they get their legs amputated or blown off in battle, and they're going to private charities. Like, it just, the story was so good. Former players being abused and disrespected by the NFL, as they said it, that they wanted that story to be that way. And there are people to this day that still would rather believe that than actually learn about the truth and what's going on.
I'm going to tie what you just said with what you said earlier about Jim Otto, about the myth of dying early, et cetera. And I'm going to tie this to CTE. Before I go down this rabbit hole, I think most of my followers know, but I want to make sure people know. I fully believe, look, I'm an orthopedist. I was the head team doctor, so I was aware of CTE and concussion evaluations, but I never evaluated players for concussions. I was in charge of the guys who evaluated them.
Right.
I'm just the orthopedist.
You're not a neuro.
CTE is absolutely real, okay? And is there a link to concussions? Absolutely. What kind of link and how bad is a different story, but there is something there. But with that being said, and I have to put out there, unfortunately, so that people don't hate on me, I've had five of my friends, Robert, they weren't all football players, five of my friends commit suicide, five pro athlete friends commit suicide, and CTE played some role in it. Now, so it's near and dear to my heart. I believe it's certainly real, whatever. But here's my media pushback on narratives and things. Some of the New York Times stuff and some of the studies, like, basically it leads players to believe, including Jason Kelce recently with the whole horse racing secretariat thing. And he said, well, I probably got CT anyways. You know, I know I do. Well, A, how do you know you do? You can't know until it's an autopsy. But I think because of the media narrative, it is absolutely real, and we need to pay attention to this and figure out what to do about it, no question. But I feel like I see a lot of players, and including some of my friends, that feel like it's kind of a death sentence. And it's not necessarily a death sentence. That ties into Jim Otto. Not every player dies at 55. That you can look, you know this, Robert. Football players, when they're done playing, how many stay at the same weight? Zero. They either go
up or down.
Or down, right? I mean, so that 300.
I'm kind of the exception to that one. I'm about at my playing weight.
Why am I not shocked? You're the exception. But in general, that's the rule, right?
I mean, absolutely.
The 300-pound lineman, look, Matt Burke, Nick Hardwick, or other linemen go this way, right? Running backs, balloon, this, you know. It's,
yeah.
So my point is, nothing is inevitable, including CTE. And even if you have CTE, it doesn't mean that you're destined to a life of purgatory and badness. There, you know, it's real. But look, everyone take care of themselves and do the right thing for your health, mental health, as well as physical health.
Yeah. And, you know, Doc, the protocols are just so different now, too. I mean, and the awareness. And I think the information that we have, look, Dr. John Lombardo, who, as you know, he ran the substance of abuse and performance enhancing drug program for the NFL. I think he still does, actually. But he was our team doctor at Ohio State. So this is 1992, my last year playing, and he's the team doctor. I get a concussion up at Michigan State. And, you know, what happened, I got my bell rung on a play. I got back to the huddle, and I was so confused that I took myself out. I was like, wait a second, something's really wrong here, right? But I started walking to the sideline, and I'm practicing as I'm going to the sideline. Like, I'm okay. I know my name. I know what school I play for. I know where we are. And I get to the sideline. Dr. Lombardo comes up to me. He said, what play did you just run? I have no idea. And he says, and he, not his first rodeo, right? So he says, look, if you remember the name of the play, we'll think about letting you back in the game. But that's not because he was a bad doctor. He's obviously a great doctor. It's because that was the information at the time. But now they treat them so much more carefully. They return to play. And apparently there's this new concussion assessment that, reads some metabolite released into the blood with a concussion that is like 100%. My question is, how many of the players really want that? Because there are probably a lot of them that go undiagnosed. But I think in the long run, it's better for the players because they are assessing the players better. And I think the long-term health of the players is going to be better. But what bothers me, a guy like Dominique Foxworth comes on after Damar Hamlin, and Dominique was part of the union. And he goes on this segment, and he's like, yeah, well, players are basically on their own once their insurance runs out. Like, that's total nonsense. It's demonstrably false. Like, I can pull up all this information showing you that that's just not true. But, like, I think some people in the media, former players, they love to go along with the narrative because they feel that it makes them more popular and part of the crew. And nobody, like, they don't want to kick the cane from players that are saying they're disabled, or they don't want to go against the narrative because it, psychologically, I think some people just feel like going with the crowd.
No question. Well, that's kind of what I try and do a little bit. Like, what we say is insider knowledge, not insider information, right? And we stuff how injuries are assessed. And look, we know it's a game that coaches don't want to reveal all injuries, and players don't often want to reveal all injuries. So that's kind of what we try and do, is provide some objective focus from, and I'm lucky enough to borrow a quote from Hamilton, to have been in the room when it happened. So I kind of know, how everything's made,
how the sausage is made,
so to speak, kind of thing. So what else are you up to, my man? You're like, you all got your hands in so many different things always. What's your latest and greatest?
Well, we're really trying to work on a consumer initiative with my company, Fan Huddle. We're deployed in enterprise right now. We create content. We use current, former NFL players, and actually have some media talent in there. We have former wrestler, WNBA players, so a real broad representation. And we create content for population health companies, insurance companies. We're deployed with Optum right now, and we create content in the movement, mindset, and lifestyle space. But we're looking at some opportunities to take that consumer, maybe create some shows around it. And really the goal is to impact the way that people approach physical and mental well-being. And I think we can always do a better job there in education.
So your NFL and college analyst jobs, those are like side gigs. You're like Tom Brady. You already have your TB12 line on the side.
Yeah, this is I've been working on it for a long time. Really, as soon as I got out of the game, and I was working with a company that was, they were more on the administrative side, doing claims analytics on the pharmacy and medical side, a little bit of e-commerce at the very beginnings of e-commerce with the internet in the late 90s, early 2000s, with durable medical equipment, home medical equipment. I've just always had a passion about applied science, especially with medicine, and the fusion of those two, using sports to deliver the message of health and well-being that can help people optimize their life, whatever it is that they choose to do, whether it's just people that want to move again, pain-free, get more limber, just stretch a little bit, all the way to people that want to train to be elite. And also give them information about, you know, just how to be happier and healthier. I mean, that's, you know, ultimately, I think why we're here, right, is to, you know, to live this life. And, you know, they say the meaning of life is to find your the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away. And I think that, you know, the more you can do to help other people find whatever that gift is, and to nurture that gift, more importantly, and to find a way to give it away to other people, well, that's, I think it's the greatest calling we can have.
Well, Robert, you never disappoint. I mean, this is just like our phone calls. I never know which way that it's going to go. You always have so many interesting things going on here. I really appreciate your time. But before we go, a quick snippet here. A, how will Tom Brady do in the broadcast booth? And what will be the biggest surprise to fans or to Tom Brady about him doing the gig that is going to be a surprise?
Well, it's an interesting couple of questions. I still haven't met Tom, but you know, he was in the league actually my last season. So 2000, we played up there in New England, and Drew Bledsoe, who was the quarterback drafted number one overall in the draft that I got drafted in 1993, was the quarterback. So technically we beat Brady or Brady's team that year. But anyway, you know, having watched him over his career, I know the way that he's going to approach this methodically. He's going to, you know, maniacally study. And I think his analogy, I'm so excited to hear it, just the way that he sees the game. But I think he's going to be tremendous at it. But, you know, what's going to surprise people, I can't say, because I don't know him well enough to be able to say what's going to surprise him about it. I would have to know him more personally, but I'm interested to hear, you know, after the roast and everything, he clearly has a sense of humor. And that's, you know, that's the part that I love about it. Like when I'm calling games, you know, I think, you know, you want to educate people, you want to entertain people as well. You know, like you're watching the game with them on a couch, right? You want to give them information, tell them why something happened or what you think can happen next, but at the same time, tie in other things that people like to hear about and have some fun with it. So I think he's going to be incredible. I'm excited to hear him.
All right, Robert, thank you so much for your time. Happy Memorial Day weekend here. Hope you had a good one, and we'll catch you again.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.